From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Coming up, how music adds value to end-of-life care and a new future for the historic Lakewood Theater. The 84th Texas Legislature opened for business yesterday. For the House, the first item on the agenda was electing a speaker. Members chose Joe Strauss for a fourth term. The Republican from San Antonio beat back a challenge from Scott Turner of Frisco. Turner is backed by the Tea Party. His supporters wanted more conservative leadership. The vote, though, was not even close. 127 for Strauss, 19 for Turner. Strauss told the House chamber he wants debate to include every viewpoint.
This House belongs to no special interest, no single interest. It belongs to almost 27 million Texans, all of the people we represent. And their scorecard is the only one that matters.
Lieutenant Governor-elect Dan Patrick and Governor-elect Greg Abbott will be sworn in Tuesday. This legislative session, lawmakers are pressed to figure out how to keep Texas roads in good shape, and that means finding the money for it. Republican Governor-elect Greg Abbott plans to add billions of dollars to road funding without raising taxes, fees, or tolls, but he could face some opposition. Amon Bethija reports on transportation for our news partners at the Texas Tribune.
Greg Abbott said he's going to raise transportation funding by $4 billion a year, which is a really ambitious goal. He is counting the funds from Proposition 1 that voters passed in the same election where they elected him. And that is supposed to bring $1.7 billion in this first year. He's counting that towards his $4 billion. One thing he wants to do is dedicate the sales, part of the sales tax you already pay when you buy a car, he wants to dedicate that to the highway fund. So dedicating it to the highway fund would kind of guarantee the highway fund getting that money, at least $1 billion, probably more. The problem there for some lawmakers is that that's an amount that would keep growing as cars get more expensive and more people move to Texas and buy cars, and that just becomes a bigger and bigger pot of money that is automatically going to transportation. And in the future, if there's a crisis in some other area and you want to put that money somewhere else, you can't. Then it would be almost impossible to get it out. And some lawmakers are concerned about losing that flexibility. Some of our gas tax money doesn't go to roads, and he wants to end some of those diversions. How much of that he is actually going to be able to do is kind of hard to say, because if you talk to some members, especially of the Tea Party, they want 100% of the gas tax to go to roads.
That was Amon Bethija with the Texas Tribune. Outside the Capitol in Austin, gun rights activists demonstrated yesterday in support of a bill that would allow people to carry handguns openly without a permit. KUT's Veronica Zaragovia was there.
The author of the bill is State Representative Jonathan Stickland. He's a Tea Party Republican from Tarrant County, and he stood alongside thousands of signed petitions in favor of House Bill 195. Stickland says paying for a permit is unfair to low-income Texans.
There are a lot of people out here who do not have the disposable income to pay these fines for the right to carry.
Nearby, the group Come and Take It Texas demonstrated a ghost gunner machine. It prepares a key part for an AR-15 rifle. President Murdoch Pisgati says the machine's presence on the Capitol grounds helps attract attention to the bill.
We're not trying to jump ahead in gun rights in terms of open carry. We're trying to catch up with the rest of the country. We are just in the Stone Ages when it comes to this.
31 states allow the open carrying of handguns without any license or permit, according to the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, which says the open carrying of firearms intimidates the public, wastes law enforcement resources, and increases the likelihood of gun violence. Veronica Zaragovia, KUT News.
The lights went out with the new year at the landmark Lakewood Theater in Dallas. The last show was January 2nd. The owners are now deciding what to do with the Art Deco venue with the famous neon tower. David Preciosi heads Preservation Dallas.
From what we understand, they don't have any concrete plans for the building. They say that they want to preserve the exterior of the building, and they want to, you know, they don't want to destroy the landmark, you know, at this point.
Preciosi says parking is a problem that's already dissuaded one possible tenant, and there's talk the interior may end up divided among two or three restaurants or shops. Preciosi says the Lakewood holds many memories for Dallasites, but he says in the end, it's up to the property owner.
The building is not a City of Dallas landmark, so there are no protections for the preservation of the building.
Preciosi says he has also had discussions about seeking a formal landmark status for the Lakewood Theater. He's seen limited enthusiasm from the owners. Greg Kenny, one of the owners, was unavailable for comment yesterday. At some hospitals, people with severe illness can choose palliative care. Sometimes it's confused with hospice, but the big difference is with palliative care, patients don't stop treatment of the disease. It's more about managing pain, facing fears, and finding support. As part of our Breakthrough series, Lauren Silverman reports on one facet of palliative care at Baylor Medical Center in Dallas, music.
Usually, it's IV poles being wheeled down hospital hallways. Today, it's a harp.
Well, sometimes I take it home and play it for fun. But yeah, this isn't my hospital baby.
Almost every day, Mary Liebus brings Joey, yes, the harp has a name, inside patients' rooms. Liebus is a music practitioner who plays for people with long-term illnesses in Baylor's palliative care program. As she delicately plucks the strings, Sherry Parks sits with a white blanket over her lap. Parks, who has colon cancer, remembers when Liebus first rolled in with the harp in August.
I decided when she came in my room, I would really like to take a moment and hear this lovely lady play a few songs on the harp.
Parks was moved when Liebus performed the classic song Tale as Old as Time from Beauty and the Beast. It's the song that will be playing when Parks' 17-year-old daughter is presented in a charity ball this spring. As a music practitioner, Liebus is trained to use music to help people relax or find energy. If patients aren't able to talk, she watches their monitors or their breathing for clues as to how they're feeling.
I might start out playing a dance music and watch the monitors and see if, their heart rate's kind of going up. I better slow it down.
Another musician is just down the hall. Judy Ritchie has been part of Baylor's palliative care team for almost a decade, and she says you never know what to expect.
We face it all. Everything from elation to death.
Sometimes she'll play for patients who are in and out of the hospital for years, sometimes in their final moments.
It's an honor to be present at that sacred time. The person who is trying to die is trying to let go. And so if we do something arrhythmic with long pauses, that helps them have a peacefulness and a reassurance that they can go and it's going to be okay.
Today, Ritchie is playing a tone drum for Sabrina Booker Murray. She has breast cancer that's spread to other parts of her body.
But I'm thankful. I thank God that he's bringing me through. And I thank these ladies because they're very helpful. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit emotional. They have really helped me to relax and to forget my problems.
Booker Murray had never been in a hospital where music was part of the healing and coping process.
My mother-in-law last night called and I said, someone's in the room playing the drums. She said, playing the drums? And I said, yes, but it's soft music, Ma.
A lot of times we think that patients need to have their symptoms managed with medications. But for many patients, symptoms can be managed with touch, with music.
Marlene McHugh is assistant professor of nursing at Columbia and co-author of a 2013 study on palliative care. McHugh says for patients with long-term health challenges, palliative care teams that include doctors, nurses, music therapists, even chaplains, can decrease hospitalizations and increase patient satisfaction.
We're going to see non-traditional health providers involved in the plans of care. And that is something new.
As a traditional healthcare provider, McHugh is excited by the idea of a more holistic approach to coping with chronic illness. The greatest challenge, she says, is tight budgets at hospitals.
So I think until we get private funding or resources or people privately pay, it will be limited, especially in areas where they don't have extra resources.
Hospitals are choosing to finance palliative care programs. There are now more than 1,500 in the U.S. And even with scarce resources and limited research on music therapy, some hospitals are investing in song. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
To learn more about palliative care, listen to our new podcast series, On Call. It's a collaboration with Baylor Scott and White Health. Go to breakthroughs.kera.org. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.